Welcome to Youth Speaks Out, a show by, for, and about young people. It airs on the first Sunday of each month from 3 to 4 p.m. and is hosted by young people in Mendocino County. We want to create a place where young people can talk truthfully about important issues in our lives and have a dialogue with the community of listeners. Today's hosts are me, Alicia, and
Diane.
We are students at Willits High School.
Today, our topic is the annual Sister to Sister Summit to be held this month for the 8th grade girls from Bechtel Grove Middle School. The middle school in Willits. Oh, the Sister to Sister program has been held at Willits Schools for over 10 years. It is a day-long event promoting self-esteem, healthy decision-making, and empowerment for the incoming freshman girls. It is facilitated by trained high school mentors who provide healthy suggestions, awareness about the high school experience. Using group activities and small discussion groups, we cover topics as self-esteem, body image, relationships, substance abuse, bullying, and healthy coping skills.
Since the beginning of the 2012-2013 school year, the high school mentors have attended monthly meetings in which they develop facilitation techniques, build knowledge of their topics, and lesson plan the events of the day. The majority of the high school participants decided to become a mentor after their affirming experience with the summit as an 8th grader. This year's summit will be held on May 20th, 2013, on the Willits High School campus. The transition from middle school to high school is often exciting, profound, and confusing. In many cultures and religions, this passage is celebrated with a ritual or initiation, like confirmation, bar mitzvah, or a vision quest. This is the time when the child becomes a young adult. The Sister to Sister Summit creates an opportunity for 8th grade girls to establish friends at the high school who will be there the next year as advisors and mentors.
The American Association of University Women came up with a program in the 1990s to help prepare young women moving from middle school to the high school. They named it Sister to Sister. Research has shown that high school girls could help inform and empower 8th grade girls before they entered high school. A program was created in which each girl learned about her own individual personality, as well as developing skills from interacting with and interpreting the people in the world around her. The goal is to help girls make healthy life choices for their minds and bodies and develop leadership skills. By the end of the program, girls have often a new vision of what is possible for themselves. There is an abundance of rumors in 8th grade about life in high school. There are stories about parties, dating, and being respected as a young adult. In our small communities, most students move with the same peers to high school. After spending a year being with the leaders of the middle school, the shift is beginning lowly freshmen to usually a shock. Girls are the lowest rung in a new school, surrounded by older people they don't know, and being pressured to do things they are often unprepared to deal with.
Teenage girls are flooded with images of how they are supposed to look. This frequently leads to eating disorders and poor diets. There is a powerful urge to mature as quickly as possible, which can result in early sexual experimentation and a rush to be in a relationship. Girls often experience sexual harassment but do not have the language or skills to stop it. And bullying, either by exclusion or public humiliation, is common among teenagers. Some of the rumors in the 8th grade concern relationships, sexual activity, and drug use. It is possible to get the impression that most high school students are in relationships, are sexually active, and use alcohol and other substances. Each 8th grader are excited by these stories, and some are frightened. Many expect that sex and drugs will be the norm, even though research shows that this is a false impression, as we covered in a prior program called Social Norms.
In the middle school years are challenging and emotional. Filled with drama and changing friends, many girls feel the need to talk to someone but are too scared of being judged or treated differently if they confide in their... At the Sister to Sister Summit, they talk and share their stories with other girls without the fears of being criticized or being made fun of. At the beginning of school in the fall, there are reunions held so that the new freshmen can touch base with the high school friends they made at the summit. This provides a connection to an older friend, which most freshmen are grateful to have. So we will talk about the Sister to Sister program for about 30 minutes. Then we will open up the phone lines for your ideas, experience, and insights. We are in the Willett studio, and our phone number will be 707-456-9991. Let's begin by discussing our experience with the sister-to-sister program. Let's talk about our summit experience when we were in 8th grade.
So my summit experience in 8th grade, I really liked it. It was empowering to me to kind of connect with some of the girls that were older than me so they could kind of tell me about everything that happened their 8th grade year or their, like, going into high school and how they felt and how they related to when they were seniors. Now that I went through 8th grade and I realized how I was overthinking everything, then it was a much easier transition.
When I was at the Sister Summit, I was really glad that I made older friends because it made it more comfortable when I got into high school to see, like, more familiar friends and hang out with the seniors. And it inspired me to do Sister to Sister, and I've been doing it for the 3 years that we could.
And at the summit, you do icebreakers, is what they're called, to kind of loosen up the girls to make sure that they're not so uptight about the whole situation and that they can trust us and that it's not made out to what it's going to be. We do, like, little focus groups about different workshops, like body image, teen relationships, substance abuse, bullying / harassment, and we cover all of them of, like, what it would be at high school and how it's defined.
We also do a fishbowl at the end with the girls and the guys. And the girls will get in a little circle, and the 8th grade girls write questions that they ask them. And the question gets read, and the girls in the middle discuss the question. But the 8th grade girls are surrounding the girls like a little fishbowl, and they can't say anything. They have to be quiet so they can hear what we have to say. And we do the same thing with the guys so the girls can get a taste of, like, what high school girls are like and what high school boys are like.
Preparing for the summit, we do meetings once every month to prepare our focus groups of what we will be discussing. And we go over communication skills, how to talk to the 8th graders, and how to make them feel more comfortable with trusting us and relying on us, and we kind of help them.
We help them, like,
prepare for high school.
Yeah. We have these really big binders that have, like, a whole bunch of ideas, like, that we can say. Like, there's a lot of, like, ice-breaking games. There's a lot of statistics that show of the topics that we have. We have a teaching guide. We have
a thing called Stand on the Line, and it's where we have a certain focus group. Like, if we're covering body image, then we give a statistic about 10% of the girls that dislike how they are have a eating disorder at the high school. And then another percent, we'd be like 20% of them have an eating disorder at the high school. And then they'd choose which side they believe is the right statistic, and they'd grow across the line. And after everybody's moved to their position, then we'd actually state the correct statistic. And it kind of gets their brains thinking of how many people actually are affected by this, and how many people are really value their body image or anything else, depending on the topic that we are covering.
So the process of preparing for the summit, we meet once a month every Monday, and we plan out, like, what we're going to say. And then the day of the summit, we get the name tags ready. We get the bags ready because we give the girls, like, bags with, like, a notebook and a pen just so they can, like, take notes or doodle if they want. And we prepare a snack for them because it's an all-day activity.
And some things that I've noticed that have changed since I was in eighth grade is a lot of the girls that we have now connect more with the eighth graders coming in, because we know what it's like to come in not knowing anything about high school. And so we try to relate it as much as we can to what their feelings are about it. And it really helps them kind of grasp that high school is not everything that it's made out to be. And I like it, my eighth grade year, but now that I would kind of wish that I could do it over again with what I know now.
Mm-hmm. A lot of, like, the groups have changed, too, because they used to be, like, body image used to be one group, and then bullying harassment were, like, separate groups, but now we combined them to one group. So, at least now, like, the eighth graders get to experience, like, every single group that we're going to be having, and instead of just doing three.
High school is not much different from middle school. I mean, there's a lot of things about, like, dress codes are way different. Then there's kind of, there's, like, your classes, there's, like, the usual stuff, like, you're going into ninth grade, but then there's, like, relationships is not such a big impact. I mean, if you have a relationship, cool, nobody really thinks anything about it, nobody will cross your point or anything, but high school is just a step up from maturity. Like, you have to really be mature about everything. If you aren't, then a lot of people kind of look down on you if you're not so into the whole being in high school trait, I guess.
I thought that the classes would be a lot harder, like 10 times harder, but it's actually not as hard as you think. It was just like the next step up.
Your,
like,
teacher's role. And then body image and self-expression is one of the workshops that we have. And body image is like how you think of yourself to be and how you dress, how you look, what kind of hairstyle you have, how much makeup you wear, or if you don't wear makeup, or like your shoes or anything of like your kind of style. Or like if anything, like if you're overweight, if you're underweight, if you, have like any, if you have like a negative image or if you don't, or it depends on like your personality of how you dress.
So last year at the Sister Summit, Alicia and I were partnered together and we had the body image and self-esteem. And in our group, we asked the students to rate themselves, like, with their self-esteem on a scale, like, 1 to 10, 1 being the lowest and 10 being the highest. And we had a lot of girls that rated themselves as, like, 2s and 4s. So, we thought that the girls were, like, afraid to have self-esteem because they were afraid of people, like, thinking they're going to be conceited and, like, brag about it, but... there's a really big difference between having high self-esteem and being conceited. Being conceited is, like, bragging and, like,
thinking you're all that.
But, like, high self-esteem, it's, like, you just know you're pretty and you know you're beautiful, but you're not gonna brag. You're just gonna wake up positive every day and just keep telling yourself that.
If someone has a negative body image or, like, a negative image, nobody will judge you. I mean, some people will just think that you're in your own person. They're not going to say anything. They're going to compliment you no matter what. But if you have a negative image, you're kind of give like this thing, this vibe that you're so tough and you're so mean and dark and nobody can really get into what you're like thinking process is. So, it doesn't really matter. It's just how you express yourself, to like your individuality and how you come about your certain style.
Another topic that we talk about in the Sister Summit is teen relationships, and that has like There's quite a few people talking about that topic this year because a lot of them are in relationships.
Dating for me, it means that you're in a relationship with someone who you care about and that they care about you just the same. And you have like this special connection between you guys, and you guys really like each other and you'd be willing to do anything for each other. But then there's another kind of dating where you go out on a couple dates, you guys go to see a movie or go to ice cream, and then you're done, that's it for the rest of the day, and then you just keep going, like you have continuous dates on every other weekend. And that's another reason, that's another outlook for me on dating. I don't know about Diane, but...
I kind of agree with you. There's a lot of students that do that at the high school. Was a steady relationship in a good high school to you, Alicia?
Probably that they're not rushing into different things. That they're communicating well, nobody is getting harassed. The most important is that they don't try and push themselves to get into, like, sex and stuff. That they're not pressured by one another to try different things just because, oh, I'm in a relationship, we need to do this stuff to become an actual relationship. That's what I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And then, do you think sex is expected in relationships?
I'd say not in the beginning, especially if, like, you guys weren't friends before. I think it's good if you guys, like, got to know each other a little bit more and not just, like, rush into things, because that could probably end up ruining the relationship, and one of them can just take advantage of the another and stuff like that.
And honestly, I don't think dating violence is common. Where in high school, at least.
Mm-hmm.
I know that when you graduate high school, there's a couple people or a couple relationships that have been known to be a little bit violent. It all kind of depends on if you mesh well together. And if you have a violent relationship, you shouldn't be in that kind of relationship in the first place. If they're trying to be if they're harassing you and if they're beating you, get out of it as fast as you can.
Or talk to somebody.
Yeah. It's not necessary to put yourself through all that. It's not worth it. It's bad on your self-esteem as well.
Mm-hmm. And you can, like, go talk to counselors or the peer counselors that are at the high school.
And parental response, I think that parents kind of influence in a way, because I know my kind of influence for my parents. My parents have been together for over 30 years now, and they have a strong relationship. That's a good thing to go off of for me. For me, I'm just trying to find that kind of relationship that I know I can trust with my partner, and he'll always be there for me kind of thing. But I know that there's some people who grew up without a mom or a dad who have been trying to figure out life from that different perspective, and that's all they know. They grew up without that one role model in their life, so mm-hmm. they don't know how to overcome it or how to go about it in that state.
So another thing that we teach at the Sister Sister Summit is substance abuse. And a lot of students ask questions like what kind of drugs go around through parties, or like, has anyone like had like alcohol poisoning?
Is there different kind of drugs in high school? There's been stuff said that there's always drugs going around the high school, and which is not true. I mean, yeah, there's weed because kids are experimenting new things because they think it's a cool thing because we live in Mendocino County, and that it's just like we're supposed to do that as high schoolers, which is not true. I mean, if you want to explore, but understand that the consequences that come with it later on, or if anything. And substances, kids are very curious about new different things like ecstasy and Molly and the new stuff that's come about, so they want to be cool and try it. And it's not actually cool. A lot of people look down on it and think, why are you doing this? It's only ruining yourself.
Especially when they bring it to school, because there's a lot of kids that bring it to school. But now we have a dog on campus that will, like, scratch at your locker.
No. If he suspects it, his name's Cricket. He comes to visit a lot. And he'll go out to different cars and smell it. And he'll go to different classrooms. He'll go through the locker rooms for boys and the girls. So it's not... drugs isn't exactly a big thing, I believe, at the high school.
No, but since we have the dog.
Yeah, a lot of people aren't exactly into it. But bullying doesn't really take place at the high school, honestly.
No, not really. I think there's a lot of more, like, judging.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of people that judge at our school.
Judgment, I don't know. Judgmental people are the ones that are jealous about of the people that they're actually bullying. Mm-hmm. I mean, actions, like, to defend yourself, I think, would be, like, if somebody hits you and they're trying to, like, honestly hurt you, you have to defend yourself in some way by, like, either blocking or, like, hitting or running or doing something. But honestly, it doesn't take place at the high school. There's not a lot of fights that happen ever. I never see one. I don't think I've seen, like, maybe one this whole school year, because I don't really pay attention to it. But
there's always, like, a lot of, like,
disagreements.
No, like, there's, like, Miss Jakes is always roaming the campus, and when she sees, like, an argument or a fight about to happen, she's usually good at, like, breaking it up pretty fast so it doesn't get too far, and she takes them in the office and does whatever.
I've noticed that our school has gone down in bullying. The statistics for our school is, like, it's actually gone down further than I expected, because I remember my freshman year there were always fights because there were different cliques that would get upset with each other, and I haven't seen, I never hear of fights. I never listen to the different things that other people are saying to each other, and it's more like they're just describing themselves, but I never hear it anymore.
I think, like, breaking on the walls helps the bullying and stuff too. And if you guys don't know what breaking on the walls is, it's like this program that comes to our school, and we learn about our peers, and we play across the line, and it gets really intense, and, like, they ask, like, really intense questions, like, if your parents are divorced, or if you've lost a sibling, if you're adopted, and they ask a lot of, like, really intense questions like that. And I put that on for my senior project this year, and I learned a lot about students who just, like, always have a smile on their face, but when they're at breaking down the walls, they were, like, crossing the line for a lot of questions and crying their eyes out. And I don't know, I think that really opens up a lot of students' eyes, so to, like, not be so harsh on other students.
And we tend to have it, like, once every couple years or so, to where every age group gets to see it and gets to be a part of it. Cyberbullying, there's somewhat a lot of cyberbullying, because girls are a little bit catty and like to put stuff on Facebook about their boyfriends or their relationships that may go on, and text messaging, and just being a little, like, immature about the situations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought by senior year that wouldn't happen as much, but I've seen a lot of girls in my class still being really immature on Facebook, and I'm like, we're about to graduate high school, like, you need to grow up.
So, sexual harassment.
I think a lot of cyberbullying has a lot to do with, like, being, like, emotionally bullied, because a lot of girls are, like, calling each other names.
And it has that effect on your self-esteem.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. And then, for me, sexual harassment is somebody is sitting there, like, there's one thing where you kind of take it as a compliment. Like, sometimes you'll be walking down the street and there's people that, like, whistle at you and are being obnoxious about it and, like, honking their horn and saying, like, ridiculous things to you, and then that's kind of sexual harassment for me. And then, like, another time of the, like, double take or something like that, that kind of shows, like, a compliment, mm-hmm. but if they're, like, trying to get, like, have sex with you or something like that, that's sexual harassment. If they're trying to convince you to do something that you really don't want to do, that's what I believe is sexual harassment.
I think just, like, someone, like, making, like, an inappropriate comment, like, oh, like, your boobs look really big in that shirt. Like, yeah. I would take offense to that because, I don't know, it would make me feel really uncomfortable. Or, like, butt smacking by, like, a guy that I really don't like.
Yeah. I don't know. It's somewhat of it's common in Willits. At the high school, all of us are friends, so we all understand, like, how each other talks to each other and how it's not really common, I don't think.
I don't think a lot of, like, if someone is feeling, like, sexually harassed, they'll talk to that person first and be like, I really don't appreciate you doing that. Like, I don't think I've ever seen a situation where they have to talk to Ms. Jakes or
it's ever been blown out of proportion.
Yeah, they just talk to the person and tell them that they feel uncomfortable, and then they're like, okay, I'm sorry, I'll stop, and they just move on.
Yeah. And the summit kind of enforces how to stand up for yourself if somebody is bullying you or harassing you by telling them who they can contact if it ever happens, or what you can say to that person if they are. And it kind of gives the kids a way that would, like, defend themselves and kind of make them, empowered for them.
Yeah, it's like an eye-opener to notice, like, for them to see that high school isn't as bad as it's going to seem. Like, it's like just another step in life that you're going to have to go through, but it's not like anything like it is in movies, like where you get trashed or, like, get beat up in the bathroom or anything. It's like
nothing like that.
Mm-mm. It's just like an eye-opener, and, like, for them to realize it's not going to be as bad as they think.
Something that I was glad that I learned when I was going through the summit was probably learning a lot about how to talk to people. A lot of this is communication with other people if you're not really pleased with how they're talking to you, or if they're saying something you don't like, or picking on you or picking on somebody else, then I've learned a lot of how to come about it and how to talk to them about it and how to tell them, like, give a certain my certain perspective of how I would handle it.
I'm glad that I learned a lot, like Alicia said, like, communication skills, but I learned a lot about, like, I don't want to say partying, because I don't party that much, but, there's these girls that are, like, giving out information, being like, you need to, like, watch your cup and, like, watch where you, like, set it, because I feel like that can, like, end up really bad if, like, you got drugged and no one was there to help you. So I think that was, like, a really good thing that I learned. And one of my favorite groups was the body image group, because they showed us pictures of, like, girls with, like, that starve themselves and, like, have, like, their ribs sticking out. And they said that they'd feel like they want to eat a burger for them because they're just so skinny. And it kind of made me feel a lot better about my body, because one of the facilitators over there, she was, like, a little chunkier, and it made me feel about her body, because, like, good about myself, because she liked her body, because her bones weren't showing through her skin or anything.
Probably, okay, from going to the summit and being an eighth grader, it was really helpful to know that there were students there that were upperclassmen that would help me along the way, that I know that I would be a familiar face around the school, that if I ever had problems or I didn't know where my class was, or if I really like this guy, but I don't know what to say to him, or, like, little stuff, I would know that there was always girls that I could talk mm-hmm. to about that. And they would always be there, and they would come up to you, and they would say, hey, like, how is your day going? And kind of just check up on you, which is really helpful.
Or take you to lunch, because I remember one of the girls I met, they ended up taking me to lunch.
Yep.
In a few months.
It's really, I valued it. I valued it a lot, seeing friendly faces and just familiar faces around the schools.
Yeah, it makes you feel a lot better. And the last 2 years that I was at the summit, I say hi to, like, a lot of the girls that were in my groups, and I feel like, I don't know, I make their day a little bit better.
Yeah, you still have that connection, because as a senior, well, then, if they're getting attention from a senior, they're just like, oh my gosh,
mm-hmm.
they like me. I'm so cool now. So, it gives them a boost of self-esteem, too, and confidence. And I never really noticed that until now. I'm a senior, and now I get that reaction from them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty cool. It makes me feel good about myself, knowing that they look up to me as a person and want to be like that.
The dress codes at the high school, they are a lot better than at the middle school, because I heard at the middle school that they are really, really strict. But at the high school, you can wear, like, spaghetti straps. You don't really have a length limit on your shorts or your skirts or your dresses.
Just nothing too revealing. Like, you can't bend over and they can see everything going on. And then you can't, you can't wear straight red or blue colors that would kind of
symbolize that you're in a gang.
Yeah.
You can't wear, like, t-shirts that have, like, beer logos or, like, any kind of alcohol logos or tobacco product logos.
And if people wear uniforms, then I don't really think that people would like it. Honestly, people would transfer to Ukiah or Laytonville just so they wouldn't have that dress code. Because, honestly, to me, dress code is, like, a big impact on, like, their individualism. You can't just take somebody's, like, if I had to wear a uniform every day, I'm not the kind of girl that would love to wear tight stuff and a skirt and look all nice and pretty every day and have to do your hair. Because I go in, like, sweats and some baggy shorts and stuff. That's what I wear. So I know that it would kind of make some people uncomfortable.
Yeah,
about definitely. How they would dress. But that's just me. Uniforms, I don't know. It depends on the color, too. I mean, it might not compliment people. They might not like the color
or
something.
Probably be your school colors.
Exactly. Green and yellow.
I don't think a lot of people would appreciate that. And I think some of the girls would probably, like, cut them up and make them more unique and probably get in trouble by Miss Jakes or something. So now we are going to open up the phone lines. Our phone number is 707-456-9991. Everyone is welcome to call, and we especially like you to encourage the youth in the listening audience. Please call if you have any questions or insights about the Sister to Sister program or about this. Or about the passage of the middle school girls into young women. What are the challenges you see for young women in our society?
How is growing up different for boys and girls? What do you remember about moving from middle school to high school? What shaped your outlook on life at that time? Do you think that growing up is more difficult now than when you were in school? In what ways? What advice would you give to young women entering high school?
We would like to hear your opinions on all the topics we've discussed. Do you think boys could benefit from a similar program? Do you think that the program, like Sister to Sister, should be encouraged?
The phone number is 456-9991. When you call, please be ready to turn down your radio, or we'll get a very confusing echo. The number is 456-9991. Please call and be a part of the discussion on the transition from middle school to high school. We'd really like to hear from you. So, being a young woman, services and opportunities that would be there for you just to kind of help with your self-esteem or anything that goes on would be like peer counseling or leadership or any school counselor to go along the way. Hello? Caller, you're on the air.
Hi, I really want to thank you all for showing up to do this program. I think it's really valuable for girls especially who are going on from the eighth grade and their parents to hear what the program's about. Mm-hmm. And I would like to ask each of you, if you had a younger sister, which particular piece, is there one piece of information from what you've learned through Sister to Sister that you think would be the most important thing to pass on to her with all you've experienced now? And the other thing is more specific. I wonder if there is something in the program that teaches girls how to deal with the physical possibility of somebody, you know, pushing too hard if they're on a date or something. Do they get anything regarding physical self-defense in Sister to Sister? Thanks so much. I'll take my answer off the air.
Thank you. Well, if I had a little sister, I would probably give her more information, like, about, like, sex, or probably more information at, like about parties, because we can't really get too much into detail at the summit because that's inappropriate. But if it was my little sister, I'd definitely talk about those a little bit more, and she'd probably feel, like, more comfortable asking me than one of the other facilitators.
Exactly. For me, I would cover everything with her. I mean, I would be so incredibly strict with her, it's not even funny, because there's so many different things in high school that she'll find out, and, I mean, there's some things that she has to figure out on her own, but there's some things where, she cannot do, that I will not let her do. But in the way of teaching self-defense at Sister to Sister Summits, I mean, we don't do boxing lessons or anything, but we, kind of tell them what would happen, how you would do it, how would you kind of get out of the situation if somebody were to be harassing you or be bullying you. But nothing major.
Yeah, we don't really we just teach communication skills, but there's a self-defense class in Ukiah if they want to take it.
So please join this discussion at 456-9991. An evening with Ralph Cantor, May 22nd, at from 6 to 8 p.m. at Laytonville Healthy Start. What does marijuana do to the still developing teenage brain, and house the brain afterwards? Learn about the long-term effects of marijuana and other substances on the adolescent brain's development.
Caller, you're on the air.
I have a comment and a question.
Okay.
My first comment is self-defense model mugging classes. They say actually cut down on violence and rape 85% for whoever's learning that self-defense. And my question would be, as high school girls, do you think that if they started sex education much younger than sixth grade or fifth grade, wherever they start now, even as simple as just teaching the kids who's supposed to be touching them and who's not supposed to be touching them, if you think that would help our kids as they grow up? And that's my question, and that's my comment, and thanks for the show.
Thank you.
The comment was really nice. I like that, actually. Learn new things every day. So, for me, teaching somebody that would be, younger than 6, they believe that they teach sexual sexual classes, what is that supposed to be? Sex ed. I think they teach that 7th grade, and then they teach it again 9th grade. But I think it would actually be a really good idea, not so much into detail about what happens in sex ed, but more like the familiar faces of who they should touch, like who could be touching them, like if it's like your sister or like your brother or somebody like that, like they can touch you, that someone's like a relative, but if it's someone you don't know and they're trying to grab a hand by you, that's not okay. So you should like definitely like tap them on the hand, like if something ever happens or if they think differently, but I wouldn't go too thoroughly into sex ed as a younger age.
I took sex ed in 5th grade, in 7th grade, in 9th grade. In 5th grade, it was mostly just, like, learning about the body parts. And then 7th grade, it was, like, learning about the body parts, too. And, like, how babies are made. And then 9th grade, we got into, like, what, like, the parts do, and then we got into, like, STDs and, like, birth control and pregnancy. So, I think, I don't know, learning about sex ed is kind of important to me because it's really good information to know. And, I don't know, I don't think too young is, like, I wouldn't start it in, like, 2nd grade. I think 6th or 7th is probably a good age to start.
Yeah. Definitely.
But I think, like, also, like, what Alicia said, like, a stranger shouldn't just come up to you and, like, start touching you. Like, there are boundaries, and I think family members or, like, your parents can, like touch you like that, like, if there's something wrong and see if it hurts or something.
Exactly. But... Oh, and self-defense classes, I mean, there was a caller previously that mentioned self-defense classes, that it would be, it would be better about, like, how to come about people that would be sexually harassing you or be bullying you or anything.
I would personally like to take a self-defense class because I feel like it is... good to know. Oh, caller, you're on the air.
Caller, you're on the air.
Hi there. Since you're not getting other calls, I decided to call again. From what you've just been talking about, it sounds to me like there might be a little bit of a veil between the thought of strangers touching someone, say a young girl or young boy, inappropriately, and the fact that we know that that does happen in family systems, unfortunately more than we want to probably recognize. And so I guess I'd like to bring that to the forefront and just ask whether in your sister-to-sister conference, do you ask any questions like that in the, I can't remember what it's called, where you can cross the line if you've had something happen to you. Mm-hmm. Do you address things like whether there's been inappropriate behavior in the family system? Because I think that's so important to kind of peel back the cover, you know, and allow some light in there. It's one of the, something that is really denied a lot, and people might be very ashamed of allowing themselves to talk about it, but it's pretty important. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So I think that, yes, we do talk about it if they have been, if something has happened, but they just haven't said anything because they've been threatened about it. For us, if they express something to us, then we are authorized to go tell somebody who's in charge and tell them who it was that happened and their situation, but we are not, we can't do anything about it. I mean, from like as us as high schoolers, but we can bring it off to
our mentors that are putting on this program. We have to let them know, like, information, like if someone's hurting them, if they're gonna hurt someone else,
just like the little things. But we do cover it. And a lot of the girls actually do open up because they don't really know who else to tell, which is really nice. But as, like, what I like is that they have that bond with us, that they know that they can say something, but it won't be, and that it'll be safe, but we're only trying to do, if it does, if we do tell somebody about what happened, that it's only for their safety and it's nothing that's going to be personally held against mm-hmm. them.
So, I have been in peer counseling for 3 years, because you can't do it as a freshman. Usually we don't go to the middle school and talk about peer counseling, because you can't really start off as a peer counselor your freshman year. So, we usually start, like, handing out flyers and, like, saying it in the bulletin every morning that there's applications. But we do, the peer counselors do stuff with the freshmen, like, we put on a fake party scene, so... And, like, the cops come in, and it's, like, what they would do if, like, a cop's, like, busted a party. We go there, we go into classrooms and do more, like, ice-breaking games throughout the year. We do, like, little counseling sessions, and if, like, anyone needs a peer counselor, you go to the main counselor in the office and just ask for someone to talk to you that's, like, around your age, and David will, like, assign them a person, and... He'll get a room for them so they can counsel them. We go to Emmendal and have a retreat, and we just get to know each other. And the peer counselors, I don't know, I really like the program. I think it's really good for our school, and it's, like, changed our school and it's had a big impact on it.
I've never personally done peer counseling. I wish I would have done peer counseling, because it meshed between having... Because I'm in leadership, and I've been involved with being vice president and president, so I never got the chance to juggle both, but I didn't do it my junior year, but I really wanted to, and I almost signed the papers too, but I wish I would have, because there's a lot of things that I know that would have helped my communication skills and how to, like, talk to them and just be, like, a part of the program itself, because I've heard so many good things about it and how much fun it is and how it really benefits kids that have been going through hard times and hardships.
Mm-hmm. I've learned a lot. Like, I've learned my communication skills have gotten a lot better, and I've learned, like, open-ended questions and closed-ended questions, and doing peer counseling has really helped me with the submit because of the communication skills I've learned. Caller, you're on the air.
Hi. I just wanted to point out that all the way through the school years and the teachers and the aides, they're all coached in deciphering harassment situations or child abuse situations. And the communication skills that you girls have learned are pretty terrific. You might think about adding something like a blocking method, which I was taught when I was first employed by the schools, to keep from anyone from grabbing a hold of me that was a special needs child. It's a really simple procedure of just simply turning your body away when you're talking with someone that feels threatening to you. You've had some very interesting questions, and you've had some very deep changes in your personality over the last 3 years in working with Sister to Sister, and I'm really impressed by the growth. So keep it up and carry it on, because your communication skills have gotten so much stronger. I'm just in awe. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Well, we've learned a lot from the Sister Sister Summit. I hope that others can too, honestly.
And I hope we inspire, like, the other 8th grade girls to do Sister to Sister, because I was inspired as an 8th grader, because I love the groups I'm in. I love getting to know the older high schoolers, and I don't know, it's really changed my life, and it made entering high school a lot easier, because I was picturing high school, like, really bad, and I was going to get trashed all the time, and I wasn't going to make friends with the older people, and doing the Sister to Sister programs really helped me with that.
Yeah, please join this discussion at 456-9991. I don't know. For me, the Sister Summit, I liked it, but it actually opened my eyes to communicating. I've always liked communicating. I'm a very social person. And that's kind of where I kind of got being on, like, majoring in sports announcing and being communicating and communicating with different people and being on the media, because I think it's really cool. So it kind of gives you an outburst of personality, I guess, which is really helpful in discovering who you are.
In your groups, like, when you're in the Sister Summit, did you, like, was there, like, a box of questions that, like, you can write a question and put it in the box and, like, it was kind of, like, asked anonymously?
Yeah.
I think we should do that again this year.
Yeah, me too.
Because sometimes I feel like girls, like, aren't really, like, open to asking a question if you just, like, write it down on a piece of paper and put it in the box. It'd be a lot easier. Caller, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
You made an announcement a little while ago about a talk that was coming up for teens, or about teens and the effects of marijuana long-term. Could you give that again?
Yes.
Thank you. I'll take it offline. Bye-bye.
Bye. An Evening with Ralph Kantor, May 22nd from 6 to 8 p.m. at Laytonville Healthy Start. Bay Area expert Ralph Kantor will give a public presentation on the long-term effects of marijuana and other substances on the still-developing teenage brain. Ralph Kantor has over 40 years' experience in education as a teacher, administrator, and school counselor, and is the author of a book, Days of Respect, Organizing a School-Wide Violence Prevention Program. This informative event is open to the community, parents, and kids, and will take place in a safe, non-judgmental setting at Laytonville Healthy Start Family Resource Center inside Harwood Hall at 44400 Willis Avenue in Laytonville. For more information, call 984-8089.
Caller, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi, I can hardly hear you. Is this KZYX in Willis?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. I hardly know you're there. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, good. Thanks for the show, ladies. Really good.
It's our pleasure.
Yeah, I love the work you're doing. And I wanted to say this, because the caller who called in about parental sexual harassment or sexual abuse,
mm-hmm.
I think had a really, really important thing to say.
Mm-hmm.
And it's my impression that very few females grow up without some kind of incest or sexual abuse by the time they reach 20 years old. And many women don't understand what happened until maybe 20 years later.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm welcoming the chance to say this, because it's so confusing if sexual harassment comes from somebody that we love, you know, somebody that we're used to having a good relationship with, whether it's a male or female or brother or sister, whatever, uncle, somebody we trust and love.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a habit. I've talked to lots and lots of women about this, and it's my impression that about 75% of the women that I know were abused in some way. And I'm pretty old. So what I would like to suggest is that that this subject be taken up with a great deal of care, because in the midst of the shock of sexual abuse from a relative or from a close friend, we want to be polite and we want to be nice.
Yeah.
We don't want to hurt this person, and their volition usually isn't to hurt us. It's just misguided, and mostly sexual abuse is something that's handed down from family to family, and love and sex become something without boundaries. So having really good boundaries from your program is such a great thing, and I think practicing that within the bounds of very familiar relationships is important. And I'd love to hear what you have to say about that off the air. or on the air. Thank you.
That is a really good point. Like, maybe I should restate what I say. So I think a family member should touch you, like, if there's, like, something wrong, like, if you have, like, an irritation or something like that, but not just, like, a family member shouldn't touch you just for, like, any old thing. Like, there should be a reason why they're touching you.
Let's see. Being, like you were saying about being sexually harassed or abused, how it's in older women, how they don't really realize it when they're 20 until they're, like, in the mid-20s. It's definitely a discussion that I want to talk about because I think that other kids, the other eighth graders should be aware that if they have been sexually abused, then to definitely come and talk to us. I mean, that's not something that you just want to hide in forever because that's not something that is, that's not okay. It's very, it's very demoralizing on your, like, personality and on your individuality because you don't know what to say or how to react to it. I mean, something just happened. You don't really know what's going on, but you can't tell anybody because somebody's threatening you. So you're kind of in a funk. So if we're definitely going to bring that across at the summit and talk about it. But thank you for that. So that's all for the month's edition of Youth Speaks Out. Your hosts today have been me, Alicia, and
Diane.
Youth Speaks Out is produced in cooperation with the Safe Schools / Healthy Students Bronco Project. Building resiliency opportunities for the North County. For more information about the Bronco program, please call Pat Sanborn at 459-5314 or email at patsanborn@woodsunified.com. Please visit the Bronco website at sshsbronco.org.
Youth Speaks Out is produced and directed by Dan Roberts, who may be reached at mail by P.O. Box 1162, Willits, California, 95490, or through the website www.youthspeaksout.net. There you can find out more information about the project, get addresses for contacting us, get a copy of a show, and listen to many hours of previous programs in the streaming audio.
Special thanks to Leah Hallbrook and Aurelie Chavez for assistance in producing this program. The views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of KZYX. They are the views of those who express them. Youth Speaks Out is aired on the first Sunday of each month. Our next show will be in 4 weeks. That is June 2nd at 3 p.m. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in June.